The Chapter 9 bankruptcy filing by the city of Detroit has some wondering if Detroit is not an isolated incident, and could other financially struggling cities be soon on the same path? Yesterday on Stateside, we spoke with Eric Scorsone, economist at Michigan State University.
Certainly other cities in Michigan absolutely face these same cost pressures, you know, whether it's Flint or Lansing or Saginaw. They absolutely face these same problems. And again, they're better off relative to Detroit today, but they're still facing these problems and they need to make sure they're proactive in managing to prevent anything like this.
With that in mind, let's turn to Michigan Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee. He represents the 5th District, including two of the cities Eric Scorsone mentioned, Flint and Saginaw. Congressman, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you very much.
So first off, what Eric Scorsone just said, what does that mean to you? Do you think other cities like Flint and like Saginaw could face a similar fate as Detroit?
Well, there's no question that there are a whole set of cities in Michigan and across the country that are on some, you know, they're experiencing some degree of financial stress. Many of those communities can't imagine that they would ever be in the same condition that Detroit's in. But the truth of the matter is, there are really only a handful of cities that are so well positioned that they don't have to worry about this problem. There are a lot of communities that are dealing with this problem to one degree or another. His focus, at least in the comments that I heard, were primarily on those cities dealing with the cost side of that equation. And what I'm hoping is that we can have a much bigger conversation, that it's not just about cities having to continue to cut their costs and be more efficient, but there's a much bigger question about how we finance cities in the first place and whether or not that's an adequate system.
Very much. In fact, he spent quite a bit of time addressing the fact that revenue has been chopped to cities and that whole issue. So what are your thoughts? I mean, we talked about the Headley Amendment and we talked about Proposal A and decline in revenue sharing. What are your thoughts on helping cities out of that economic hole?
Well, I think if we recognize, first of all, that the role or the future of these particular cities is not just significant to the residents of those cities. It's significant to the metropolitan areas that they are important to. And so while that seems like a pretty simple statement, when we try to translate that into policy, it becomes much more complex. Because what it implies is that if a city of, say, Flint or Saginaw, or Detroit for that matter, is really important to the economic health of the region, then it sort of begs the question as to whether the region could participate somehow in making sure that that city is sustainable going forward. That kind of notion challenges our sort of the conventional thinking about how we finance municipal governments. It's a reality we have to recognize because until really the 1950s and 60s, there was a very high correlation between the amount of wealth and economic activity in a city and the obligation that that city has pay to be the urban core of a vibrant metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the relationship between the importance of that city and its economic activity and wealth is no longer what it once was. The wealth and economic activity in most metropolitan areas is much more distributed across the metropolitan region. But it doesn't forgive the notion that these cities play a special role and a uniquely important role in the health of that metropolitan area. But the financing mechanism for supporting those cities doesn't acknowledge that fact.
How far do you think this idea of regionalization should go?
Well, I think in some places, I'll give Pittsburgh for example,
mm-hmm.
there have been some successful efforts to think about the regional assets that really are traditionally provided by a city. And it's, you know, typically arts and culture and things of that nature, where community, a regional community has come together to make sure what was once a city obligation can now be provided for by all of the beneficiaries of those assets. And so there's been ways to deal with metropolitan, you know, revenue sharing
mm-hmm.
to achieve that goal. My thinking about this is that we need to think about both at the state, federal, and regional level about the importance of cities. And so when we are thinking of public infrastructure investments or economic development incentives, or all those things that drive economies, that we not think about all land use being equal, but we recognize the essential, unique role that cities play in the life of our communities, and not simply allow for the next big deal to be built on a farm field where we don't have infrastructure or we don't have those public that public investment.
Michigan Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee. And I'm kind of interested, Congressman, is there a time that you would think bankruptcy for other cities facing similar financial problems would indeed make sense?
Well, bankruptcy typically, first of all, bankruptcy isn't a solution. It's just a way to bring order mm-hmm. to an otherwise chaotic situation. Bankruptcy by itself doesn't increase the amount of resources available to a city. It just simply allows it to stop paying its bills in a much more orderly fashion than it would stop paying its bills if it didn't have bankruptcy. Either way, there's a lot of folks who are not going to get what they're expecting, whether there's a bankruptcy or whether it's just simply a chaotic case of insolvency. And so the times when bankruptcy as a solution unto itself does make sense is when it's an episodic failure. Orange County, California, for example, which mm-hmm. went into bankruptcy as a result of investing in very odd derivative products through their investment policy. They got caught short. They suffered a big loss. They needed to write off that debt. But they had an economy that they could go back to that was sustainable. And there have been other similar situations. When we're talking about something like Detroit, or Flint for that matter, when it's not just a short-term problem of cash flow, but it's really fundamental to the economic sustainability of the community, bankruptcy may not all by itself be a solution. And that's what I've been arguing for. Mm-hmm. Bankruptcy may be necessary in this case, but it will not by itself be sufficient to fix the problem.
Thus, hearkening back to what you had talked about, some conversations about the new approach and the idea that supporting the idea toward regionalization is something worth talking about.
It is. And, you know, I think it's regionalization, but it's also calling upon state government to think about how it uses its resources, both financial resources and redevelopment tools. This is a decade ago. I and a couple of other folks proposed creating commerce centers, which would have simply said that the 8% of the land where 70% of our population lives, which is largely cities, should disproportionately get the support for redevelopment, for new infrastructure, for reinvestment, and not create incentives for sprawl and suburbanization when our population is static. So there are policy approaches that make sense in the long term, but so far we just haven't seen the will to make these tough choices. And the failure to do that, coupled with the clear failure of management, we can't escape that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other big part of this is that we have a system that just simply isn't sustainable, a municipal finance system that does not work when you have a city that once had almost 2 million with only 700,000 people. The numbers just don't work.
Last week, Congressman, you spoke with Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve, and you wanted to find out or discover what the Fed was doing to address these municipal financial problems. What did you learn?
Well, first of all, just as was the case with the auto industry, the first reaction is this is not our job. You know, and that was certainly the case for many when the auto industry itself was facing insolvency, or the city of New York, for that matter, mm-hmm. or the banking industry. So the first reaction that I got from Mr. Bernanke was, you know, this is all very difficult, but I'm not sure there's anything that we can do about it. What I'm trying to do is to raise awareness of this problem, and particularly raise awareness that we are actually all in this together. This is not just the residents of Detroit. The future of our region, certainly the future of our state, and I think in the country, in large part is dependent on getting this right and making sure that places like Detroit and Cleveland and fill in the blank are going to be able to have a future where they are not a drain on regional economies or on state resources, but actually are net contributors. If we don't fix that, we're going to have continued problems like this.
I'm sure you saw the front page of the Sunday Detroit Free Press, Stephen Henderson's editorial entitled "Wake Up, White House, Get in the Game." And
right.
Certainly, as he points out, the Obama administration is quite hands-off when it comes to the bankruptcy filing. Are you disappointed in the way the White House is or is not responding to the Detroit crisis?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, it kind of gets back to the notion that folks have that this is not their problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to be. And I would say the same thing to the president. This is something we all have to become engaged in. Frankly, you know, and this is not an original thought, but it resonated with me. If Detroit were a bank, everyone would be doing leapfrogs over one another to get in the game and try to figure out how we're going to solve this problem. And it, to me, it's sort of a sad commentary on the state of political social affairs in this country when lending institutions that were basically involved in creating the products that led to their own near demise had left, right, and center of the political spectrum getting in line to do what they can to preserve those banks because they were too big to fail, not being willing to do the same thing when an entire community that actually helped put the world on wheels is in difficult straits and needs us all to pay attention to it. To me, that it's not acceptable any longer for anybody, whether it's the White House, the Federal Reserve, or the governor, or anybody, to say this is not my problem, because whether we like it or not, it is.
Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee represents the 5th District, and thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you.